All right, let's get right into it, shall we? Today, we are diving deep into a landmark Supreme Court case, Van Dusen v. Barrick. This one really digs into how the location of a trial can totally shift the outcome and what that means for justice.
What makes Van Dusen so interesting is the tension between convenience and fairness. I mean, think about it. It's a story full of twists and turns that keep anyone hooked, even if you aren't a lawyer.
Okay, so paint the picture for us. We've got this tragic plane crash in 1960. Lawsuits are flying everywhere, over 150 of them, in fact. Wrongful death, personal injury, the whole nine yards. Some folks file in Massachusetts, where the crash happened. Others in Pennsylvania, where some of the passengers live. Sounds pretty normal, right?
Well, not quite. This is where things get a little tricky. See, the laws in Massachusetts and Pennsylvania were pretty different, especially when it came to capacity to sue. Imagine you're devastated by this crash, but you can't even file a lawsuit in Massachusetts because you're not, say, a direct family member of someone who died. That's the kind of difference we're talking about here.
So, venue shopping, basically. Picking the right court becomes a strategic move, almost like choosing your battlefield, huh?
Exactly. And in this case, the defendants wanted to move everything to Massachusetts. One courtroom, one set of laws, it simplifies things, right? Plus, they probably figured the outcome in Massachusetts would be better for them.
So efficiency meets strategy. But how did they actually manage to move the case?
They used this seemingly simple part of the U.S. Code, Section 1404A. It basically lets you transfer cases between federal courts if it's more convenient or, you know, better serves justice. Seems reasonable enough at first glance.
And here come the fireworks. The plaintiffs were like, wait a minute, if we had filed in Massachusetts in the first place, we wouldn't have even been allowed to sue because of that whole capacity thing. Ooh. It's like buying a concert ticket, showing up and being told, sorry, you're not dressed right, you can't come in.
Right. That's a perfect analogy. And that's what brought this whole thing to the Supreme Court. Does moving a case for convenience also mean you move the whole legal framework? Do the rules change just because you're playing on a different field?
Okay, so we've got high stakes, legal maneuvering, and this huge question about what justice really means. What did the Supreme Court decide? Did they go for practicality or protecting the plaintiff's rights?
Well, the majority opinion, written by Justice Goldberg, kind of leaned toward practicality, but with a catch. They said Section 1404A was supposed to be a tool to make sure federal cases are heard in the best place, not to manipulate the outcome.
So you can move the trial, but you can't change the law that applies. It's like taking your legal arguments on a road trip. The scenery changes, but the core of your case stays the same.
You got it. They said the original state's laws stay with the case, even if the trial moves. They were trying to stop defendants from forum shopping to find a state with laws that help their side.
I'm starting to see how this seemingly boring procedural issue could be a big deal for both sides. It's not just about location. It's about which legal rules actually govern the whole thing.
Absolutely. And there's even more to it. While the majority focused on procedure, Justice Black had some reservations about fairness, even with the majority's decision. He wasn't sure this legal road trip wouldn't still put some plaintiffs at a disadvantage.
Ooh, a dissenting voice. This is getting good. Tell me more about Justice Black's concerns. Why wasn't he fully on board with this change of scenery approach?
So Justice Black was worried about like these subtle kinds of biases that could pop up even when everyone's following the same law. He specifically mentioned cases with parties from different states, what we call diversity cases.
Yeah, those end up in federal court because of, you know, where everyone's from. Right. What was Justice Black's point about those?
He said that even if a federal court uses another state's law in these diversity cases, it still has to follow its own federal rules for like how the case runs. And sometimes those federal rules might clash with the state's law.
Okay, so we could have two sets of rules bumping into each other, even though the court's trying to use the right state law. What's an example of how that could happen?
Imagine state X has this rule saying you've only got 1 year to file a certain kind of claim. But then federal rules give you some wiggle room to, say, change your complaint or add new stuff later. What if you try to change things up after that 1 year deadline in state X?
That's tricky. The federal court's supposed to be using state X's law, including that deadline. But the federal rules might say you can do it anyway. Which one wins?
Right. That's the big question. And it's precisely what Justice Black was worried about. He said, even though Van Dusen tried to protect state law, there's still a chance those laws get messed up by federal rules.
So it's kind of like jamming a square peg into a round hole. You're trying to make one set of rules work inside another, and sometimes it just doesn't fit.
Exactly. And this fight between state law and federal procedure, it's still giving legal experts and judges headaches today.
Wow. Van Dusen isn't just about location, then. It's like it opened up this whole other set of problems about...
Yeah, this case keeps on giving. It didn't just end one fight. It showed us these fundamental problems in our court system, like how state and federal power work together, or how we balance efficiency and fairness.
My head is spinning. I can see why even experienced lawyers still debate what Van Dusen really means. Let's get down to earth for a sec.
Yeah.
If you were a lawyer dealing with a Van Dusen situation now, what would you be thinking about?
The first thing is to know what could happen if the case moves, both for your client and the case itself. Van Dusen shows us that where you are isn't just about convenience. It's about which laws will decide how everything ends up.
So first, you got to figure out which state's laws are best for your client, like scouting the battlefield before you pick a fight.
Right. And you have to really understand the specific area of law you're dealing with. Contracts, product liability. They all have their quirks, and little differences between state laws can make or break your case.
Okay, so you've got your legal plan. What then?
Then it's time for strategy. If you're working for the plaintiff, you want to file in a place where the law is on your side. But you also have to think about the other side trying to move the case.
It's like chess, thinking a few steps ahead.
Exactly. And if you're on the defense, you've got to weigh whether moving is actually good for you. Will it really give you an advantage? Or will Van Dusen stick you with the original state's laws anyway?
It's a big decision with no easy answers. Sounds like Van Dusen made things way more complicated.
That's for sure. Lawyers have to be a lot more strategic now. They have to really dig into how procedural rules and people's rights interact.
So Van Dusen isn't just something you read in a textbook. It's a tool lawyers actually use. It gets cited and debated, and people use it to their advantage in courtrooms all over.
It's a constant reminder that even boring procedural rules can totally change how a case turns out.
All right, let's crack open that can of worms. What else was Justice Black worried about with Van Dusen?
Well, remember how he was concerned about subtle biases even when the same law is on the books? He brought up a specific issue with cases involving folks from different states, those diversity cases.
Right, right. Those are the ones that end up in federal court because of, well, diversity jurisdiction. What was Justice Black getting at with those?
He argued that even if a federal court uses another state's law in these diversity cases, it's still got to follow its own federal rules of procedure. And sometimes those federal procedural rules might actually clash with the state's substantive law, you know?
Okay, I see where you're going with this. We're talking about two sets of rules potentially butting heads, even if the court is trying to apply the correct state law. Can you give me an example of how that could happen?
Sure. Let's say State X has a really strict one-year statute of limitations for a specific kind of claim, right? But the federal rules of civil procedure, they allow for a little more flexibility in amending complaints or adding new claims after the fact. So what happens if a plaintiff tries to amend their complaint after that one-year state deadline?
That's a tough one. Technically, the federal court is supposed to be using State X's law, including that one-year time limit. But the federal rules might say it's okay. So which rule wins out?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question. And it's the kind of scenario Justice Black was concerned about. He argued that even though Van Dusen tried to preserve state law, there's still a chance those laws could be undermined or distorted by federal procedural rules.
It's like trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. You're trying to apply one set of rules within the framework of another, and sometimes they just don't mesh.
Exactly. And this tension between state substantive law and federal procedure, it's something that still keeps legal scholars and judges up at night, even today.
Wow, so Van Dusen isn't just about venue then. It's like it opened this whole Pandora's box of questions about state versus federal law. No wonder it's such a landmark case.
It really is a case that keeps on giving. It didn't just settle a single dispute. It revealed these fundamental tensions within our court system, like how state and federal authority interact and how we balance efficiency and fairness.
My mind is officially blown. It makes sense why even the most seasoned lawyers are still trying to figure out what Van Dusen really means. But let's get practical for a second. If you were a lawyer facing a Van Dusen situation today, what would be your top priorities?
The first thing is understanding the potential consequences of a transfer for your client and the case. Van Dusen teaches us that venue isn't just about logistics. It's about which set of laws will ultimately decide who wins.
So step one is to analyze the legal landscape. Figure out which state's laws are best for your client's case. It's like scoping out the terrain before you choose your battlefield.
Exactly. And to do that, you need a deep understanding of the specific area of law involved. Is it a contract dispute? A product liability claim? Each area has its quirks, and the outcome can hinge on tiny differences between state laws.
Got it. So you've mapped out your legal strategy. What comes next?
Well, next comes the procedural maneuvering. If you're representing the plaintiff, you'll want to file in a jurisdiction where the laws are most favorable to your client. But you also need to anticipate the defendant may be trying to transfer the case.
Ah, so it's a game of anticipation, thinking a few steps ahead, just like in chess.
Precisely. And if you're on the defense side, you need to think carefully about the pros and cons of a transfer. Will changing venues really give you a legal advantage, or will you end up stuck with the original state's laws anyway because of Van Dusen?
It's a high-stakes decision, that's for sure. It sounds like Van Dusen has added a whole new level of complexity to these venue decisions.
It has. Lawyers have to be way more strategic about venue now. They have to carefully analyze the relationship between those procedural rules and people's actual rights.
So Van Dusen isn't just a case study. It's a real legal tool. It's cited, debated, and used strategically in courts all over the country.
It's a constant reminder that even the most seemingly boring procedural rules can have a huge impact on the outcome of a case.
Okay, so let's wrap up our deep dive into Van Dusen v. Barrick. We've covered a lot, from the history and reasoning behind the decision to its impact on legal strategy today.
We've seen how this case has shaped the way lawyers approach venue, choice of law, and that delicate balance between state and federal power.
And maybe most importantly, we've learned that changing venues is much more than just a change of scenery. It's a journey with its own set of rules and challenges, all thanks to Van Dusen v. Barrick.
So next time you hear about a legal case being transferred, think about Van Dusen. It reminds us that the law is constantly changing, and what seems like a small move can have huge consequences in the pursuit of justice.
Well said. And that concludes our deep dive into Van Dusen v. Barrick. We hope you've enjoyed this exploration of one of the most interesting and important cases in U.S. legal history. We'll be back with more deep dives into compelling legal issues, so stay tuned.